Hello everyone, this is Ashish. Welcome back to the podcast. We are going to again have a terrific weekend and going to give the upcoming week with newfound momentum. This podcast has kind of reached a shape. We kind of know what we are going to talk about, although we can be never 100% certain because the unscripted nature of this podcast is fantastic and a beast on its own. But your opinions and comments makes the majority of this podcast. So if you're on YouTube, feel free to put it down in the comment section. If you're on Instagram, shoot a DM or wait for one of those stories where I ask for your opinions. Or if you're on Twitter, you know what to do. I don't, because I'm kind of new on Twitter. But if you're nowhere, just shoot me a mail, man. That's how it works. I just wake up, check my mailbox, and decide what I should be talking about in the next podcast. Now, you know, what we kind of do is definitely talk about one of the fantastic speakers of this planet Earth and try to break him or her down, understand what we can learn from it and implement to get better. Other than that, we have generally got a segment with which we generally start that is related to mindset. And today, I do have a special one which I have been experimenting with my own life for the past 2 to 3 years. Now, all you ladies and gentlemen do remember me talking about that one technique from the 17th or 18th century France, that is the Pomodoro technique. That was one of my most popular video until I made Why I Left ISRO. And then until that one shot of short Freak Again went viral and got like freaking 10 million views or something. How does a single video get that many views anyways? Isn't that like literally? Yeah, that's a huge number of people. But anyways, Pomodoro technique is very, very useful, especially for students. But there are better ways to do things when you're starting to get into domains that you actually love doing. It is good for students because most of the time students hate what they're studying, partially because of who is teaching it and partially who is setting the syllabus and all that. But we mostly hate what is going on in schools and colleges. So Pomodoro technique is great for you to get some work done in the domain that you don't like as much. And to those scratching your head, hey, what's Pomodoro technique? Well, real quick, 25 minutes you're going to work, 5 minutes you're going to take a rest, 25 minutes again, you're going to do this 4 times, after 2 hours you're going to take a 15 minute break, and the cycle repeats for as long as you would be physically and mentally resilient to keep on going. But what Pomodoro technique focuses the most on is that your brain starts to lose concentration, especially and very significantly after the 25 minute mark. Your brain starts to lose attention in the first 25 seconds itself, but post 25 minutes, it is dog shit, all right? It's almost zero, and if you continue on studying or doing something that you hate doing, you're basically not doing anything. You can literally get it done 4 hours of work in 10 minutes if you use the Pomodoro technique, and that's the whole idea of it. And you know, a lot of time you've been sitting over there in the library with the same books for 5 hours and you found out I got nothing done because I was thinking about the birds outside. Literally, the plain wall in front of you would start to seem much more interesting when you are trying to study something you hate studying for your finals or your examinations or something that you just need to pass. So Pomodoro technique is great for that. This whole segment just seems like me talking about Pomodoro technique. Matter of fact, I wanted to talk about something anti-Pomodoro technique, but heavy get into it. First, you need to understand what it is competing with. Then you will be understanding why we need it. So, finally, one last time, Pomodoro technique is great for doing stuff that you hate doing. It makes it less painful. But if you really like doing it, let us say you're pursuing an artistic career, you're actually loving what you're doing, or you got a dream job, or even let us say you have none of those, but you love to do something which you're passionate about, pays you nothing, but also you do it and you want to become better at it. In those scenarios, you want to stick long enough to reach what we call flow state. Now, flow state is not really something that is a myth and just people talk about it and there's no such thing as a flow state, and all those people who are talking about is kind of just bluffing themselves. The normal state of mind, they're just calling it flow state because they're kind of enjoying doing it. Not really. And I'm not going to get into that flow state, which is going to give you like a drug kind of high. But what I'm saying is flow state, or you just think about like it like this. You're just spending long enough time doing the same thing for hours puts you in a zone where you have a continuity. Now, I'm going to take two examples, okay? And I think these two examples can cover 99% of the population. Number one, I'm going to take the field of research. Please understand, I emphasize research and I did not say studying. I have to do research in, let us say, domain of engineering. Now, I want to do research in, let's say, James Webb Space Telescope. And I can say these things because I've been doing it ever since I got into Indian Space Research Organization. When I was in Department of Atomic Energy, Bhabha Atomic Research Center, I barely did any research because all my 1 year went into training, which was just another college. But when I got into ISRO, I started doing real research, started learning new things, started reading books, started reading research papers. And ever since then, 2018, I've been doing some research or the other in some domain or the other. So if you are one of them, if you're trying to research something, you can be researching a music or musician or a music band, all right? It completely depends on for a video that you are going to make. But if you're doing something that you're enjoying, then you want to plunge deeper in that whole zone. There is a continuity that is developed and you want to push it further. If you break it, then that is lost. And after 2 hours, if you come back over here, that zone is gone. And you are not going to plunge deeper now. You are again going to try to reach to that depth. Now, one thing that I can say from experience is, if you keep on doing the same thing, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours down the line, it is going to become painful. And this is a good place to bring the second example. Let us say you are writing a book. I know it is very difficult to find out people who are also writing book over here in the audience, but let us say you are doing something artistic in that domain. The same things I have experienced in making those giant vlog videos, which are like taking almost a month to edit, 8 hour long sessions, 12 hour long sessions I spent in editing those to that fine crisp. And you can think about other artistic domain. Let us say you are making music. I cannot relate to that, but I would imagine it's all in the similar domain. So when I'm writing my book, by the way, if you do not know, I've been writing the same book for the past 4 years. It is a pain in the ass. It's not easy at all. Going through 7 draft right now. That means that I've written the same book 7 times. Like I said, big pain. But also, it's fun because I love doing that. That is what I was saying in the last podcast as well. Just because you love doing it does not mean that you're not going to hate it every now and then. So let us say I'm writing a book. I'm deep in the story. I'm in the 7th chapter. There's a connection of this 7th chapter to the past 6 chapters. So I kind of brush through 6 chapters and I'm in the 7th chapter right now trying to write something new. If I break it now, come after 10 hours, I have lost the connection. Now I'm fresh into the 7th chapter, continuously, completely lost the connection with the past chapters. So I need that flow. That is not always possible. If that was possible, I would write chapter 1 to chapter 10 in one flow and then die. That's my final chapter. I died writing these 10 chapters. So it's not always possible. And that flow state will burn out too. It's not like you're 7 hours in, 8 hours in, and the flow state just keeps on amping up and you just get better and better at doing it. 6 hours in, 7 hours in, you're kind of burnt to the crisp. You won't be able to do it anymore. There's a surge of creativity. There's a surge in effectiveness and productivity. And then it goes away. So there are different kinds of doing the things. If I say Pomodoro technique works, it works for certain things, it works for some certain people, it works for certain situations. And when the flow state comes, you have to spend like hours and hours doing the same thing. It works for certain places. Everything has its own place. And you need to understand where you are going to apply what. If I'm going to go to school right now and I'm going to give semester or quarter examination or finals, I'm going to use Pomodoro technique because I know that sooner or later I'm going to go through some that one chapter that I'm going to bloody hate the guts of. So both have their own importances. And that's what I wanted to say. Again, have pointers for you guys. So let's see if I missed something. Yeah. Another thing that I have been testing on myself for the past 3 years is that if you pursue a lot of different things, I'm just going to take my examples. My examples, as if I'm 10 different people. I'm just going to take my example. I'm writing a book, so I spend a huge amount of time writing. I'm creating podcast, and I'm just going to categorize podcast and YouTube videos and all the social media platform into one category. I'm doing research in mechanical engineering. That's one thing. And what else am I doing? My health and physique. I'm a martial artist, and I do spend at least 1 hour in gym at least 6 days a week. So I'm doing so many things. Now, this gym thing can go away because it's almost like eating food and taking bath. Okay. I don't take bath much, but I do spend at least 1 hour in gym. Okay. But let's just take these three examples, okay? I want to balance these three things, which is a lot, takes a lot of toll on you. Now, I can do either of two things. Number one, I'll invest 1/3 of my day writing, 1/3 of my day working on social media, and 1/3 of my day working on my research in mechanical engineering, okay? I can do that. And that would be like 3 hours. That's it. 3 hours research, 3 hours social media, and 3 hours writing. That is one way of doing it. That's what we call 1/3 of your life. 1/3 of your life goes definitely to sleeping. 1/3 of your life goes in whatever is your occupation, whether it is job, whether it is your school, whatever it is, your family. And the last 1/3 goes into you becoming better or pursuing the career that you would want to pursue. Earning money is the easiest thing in this world. Sorry, astronaut. Earning money is the easiest thing in this world. The most difficult thing in this world is developing a career that you want to pursue, all right? So that is where the 1/3 of your life goes, and 1/3 of your life creates all the differences. 1/3 of your life and the weekends creates all the differences. Okay, coming back to the point, I can do that, 3-3-3. Or I can look at the bigger picture and not look at the single day, but look at the full week, and I say, 3 days, I'm going to invest in engineering. 3 days, I'm going to invest in writing. And 1 day plus 2 days of the next week, bet you thought that I'm going to sit 3 days again. Week only has 7 days. And 1 day and the 3 days, I'm going to invest in whatever, the last one. So you can do that, all right? That will give you a higher flow state. You have gotten in. That's what you do before you go to sleep. That's what you do right after you wake up. You will have to shape your life in a way that you have the freedom to do that. But if you can, that would be great. Or if I look even bigger picture, I look at the month. Let us say first week, I'm going to spend time in writing. The second week, I'm going to spend time in engineering. And the third week, I'm going to spend time in social media. And then you'll say, oh, Ashish, 2 weeks, you'll be gone from social media. And 1 week, you're going to be posting day and night. No, sir. I'm going to create the content schedule. And that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years. You think that this podcast was recorded last night, son? No, sir. This has been recorded at least 2 weeks in the past. And I just scheduled it. I'm from the past, okay? And you're from the future for me. So that is one way. Matter of fact, this is just not out of the ass of a random podcaster, all right? Elon Musk works like this. Elon Musk manages SpaceX, he manages Tesla, and he manages Boeing Company, Starlink, God knows how many different things. You think that he spends, okay, 2 hours SpaceX factory, 2 hours Tesla factory, 2 hours Boeing Company people, I'm going to talk to them about research. That's not how it works. He spends 1 week in Tesla completely, 1 week completely in SpaceX, and next week maybe he spends on a yacht or something. But he divides his day like this. This is how his actual schedule goes. Go and research on it. I'm not talking straight up without doing proper study on the man that I'm talking about. So if he is doing like that, there has to be a reason. I'm not saying if you do this, you'll become Elon Musk. Also, I'm not suggesting you should become Elon Musk because you should become what you want to become. But this is a great way of increasing your productivity. If all of those ifs that I've talked about, and the second method, I kind of talked about it completely. If you want to go through a detailed video on Pomodoro technique, I'm going to link it down on the description box. Or I'm going to just put an I button over here probably, so that you can click on it if you're on YouTube and if you're lazy. But you should not click and watch it right now because the podcast is not over yet. What are we going to talk about next? Let's look at it. Let's look at the list of things that I have over here. Hey man, this is not really something that I want to talk about or spend a huge amount of time. It's just a fun segment, man. What's with girls with eyelashes? What's with them? And to some of you guys who are again scratching your head, hey, what eyelashes? You want girls to not have eyelashes? No, I'm talking about fake eyelashes, all right? Eyelashes so big that you can see them from the goddamn moon. Like literally, if this was in 1960s, Neil Armstrong would be saying like this. Wait on. Check this out. Now, he would be like, it's one small step for man, one giant, god damn it, that's a giant eyelash back in the planet. What's going on with Earth right now? So, fake eyelashes. You gotta check it out. I'm going to share some pictures. So, audio people, I do not know what you're going to do, but there's something about this newfound fashion, man. Look at those eyelashes. Those don't look real at all. That's one thing that I do not like about the newfound fashion. Why do you have to try so hard? Look at that one. Why do you have to try so goddamn hard? Isn't the whole thing about being cool is that I don't really care? I don't really care how my hair is right now. That's another thing that is so lame about me from 3 years in the past. Did you remember? Do you remember me in chamomile tea with toppers? Let me bring it up. Me full on with highlights. So I cannot just make fun of random girls with fake eyelashes. I have to make fun of myself as well. Look at that. What's wrong with those heads? I was definitely not born with them, right? So I spent a good amount of money and good amount of time in a saloon or something, just painting my hair, sitting over there with tin foil or something. What was that? Aluminium foil. And sitting over there for an hour waiting for my hair to look like it was not born with. So there's no way that this is cool, all right? It takes a lot of effort, and if you're putting that much effort, it's not cool, all right? But that's the thing. That's why I do not have colored hair anymore. Komal keeps on telling me all the time, color your hair, color your hair. I'm like, no, that's trying too hard. That's trying too hard. If you're trying too hard, man, you have to be so, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not going to color my hair. I'm not even going to comb my hair. But at the same time, I blow dry my hair. So, but you're not going to find out. So you're never going to know. So it's just that small fraction of people who reach this part of the podcast who's going to know. But back to the one small step for man, one giant, goddamn that eyebrow. Yeah. Basically, it's not like I'm going to talk about it for 10 minutes, just like I talked about productivity. I just wanted to bring this to your point. Okay, now, to your attention, sorry. Now, this is that one segment. If that clap blew your hair, yeah, no, it won't because I'm going to minimize that. Now, we are going to get to that part which we call fantastic speakers. And today, we are going to break down the biggest podcaster of this planet that has ever lived, that will ever be. That is Joe Rogan from Joe Rogan Experience. Now, I have been listening to Joe Rogan since 2013. It has been a long, long time. And I still remember when he was publishing podcast, the first podcast that I listened to was one with Eddie Bravo. right after he fought with, I'm terrible with names, but he was that one guy who Eddie Bravo defeated, all right? I mean, he was the first Gracie to ever lose in ADCC, all right? So if I'm going to talk about him, might as well bring the correct name as Royal Gracie. So it was not the first fight with Royal Gracie, because right when the first fight with Royal Gracie happened, Eddie Bravo was nobody. That's when he decided to start 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu and blew up, I think, the most successful jiu-jitsu training. What can you call it? It is kind of like a franchise that ever was. There's none better, none more successful. But the second fight, which was in Matamoros, and right after that, Joe Rogan did a podcast with him. And I do not remember what episode it was, but that's the first episode that I listened to. And ever since then, I listened to all the episodes that came out. Until recently, like past 3 years, I've not been listening to everyone. And when I listened to that Eddie Bravo one, I listened to all before as well. Straight going to the starting ones, like Joe Rogan one. And then we went into, like, I went into, like, there's some split personality disorder problem in me, man. Every now and then I go from V. That's another thing. There's some people in this world who you're supposed to call they. Okay? So, better get used to it. So, I take good care of it, especially in America. Now, where was I? Yeah. We used to listen to Joe Rogan from the first episode, Get Go. But you get the point, right? I've been listening to Joe Rogan for a long time. And today, finally, my life's goal has been accomplished by breaking down Joe Rogan's way of speaking. So let's look at it. See, you cannot be the most successful podcaster ever without having good speaking skills. That's literally what you do. A more important aspect of a podcast host would be the ability to interview people, which is, again, something that we can definitely learn from and is a big focus for today's breakdown. But real quick, we are going to talk about his way of speaking. And his way of speaking is not perfect. That's what you would expect from a public speaker, although he is a stand-up comedian. And stand-up comedy is the highest level of public speaking. But also, stand-up comedy is rehearsed multiple times. So his real way of speaking will only be disclosed in a podcast. So I have just picked up anyone, and I think I have picked up the same one of Joe Rogan with Eddie Bravo, breaking down Eddie Bravo's fight with Royal Gracie. Does not matter. All I'm going to do is break down Joe Rogan's way of speaking. But unfortunately, I think Joe Rogan would not be talking more over here, but we'll see. Let's go. See, that's one of the very few limitations of Joe Rogan's way of speaking, that he does have connectors. You are going to find quite a few connectors in Joe Rogan's way of speaking, which is kind of natural because he's speaking in an unscripted fashion, without any preparation, voluntarily, on the spot, impromptu. And it becomes difficult for the best speakers on the planet. You are going to see Barack Obama giving a speech in India, and you'll say, the best speaker ever. But at the same time, you go in a Q&A session of Barack Obama, where he's trying to get a book published and trying to give an interview, on-spot answers, where he has not prepared, you are going to see connectors. People need to understand, I've talked about this before, that don't try to be a perfectionist. Some connectors are bound to be there. But Joe Rogan's is a little bit more, given that he has done thousands of podcasts. So he's not a perfect speaker. He is, however, a perfect host. So let's take a look into what is good in his way of speaking. All right, we are going to see the start part, because this is where we actually get it. But then we are going to go to some other video, because this video has been covered by the screen of the fight. So we are going to go to some other one, because face is important as well. But let's look at it one final time.
See you, my best friend, standing there with Royal Gracie, and you guys are about to grapple. I'm like,
One thing that I'm noticing for the first time ever, that's why I love doing these things, that Joe Rogan comes in the category of a fast speaker. See, there are two kinds of speaker. People who speak naturally very fast and people who take time to speak slowly. A very good example of a fast speaker would be me right now, what I can show you. Of course, apart from Mr. Joe Rogan over here. A good example of a slow speaker would be Sarah Jane, who came on my podcast quite a while ago. If you do not know, Sarah Jane used to be a coach in Dale Carnegie, has spent like over 2 decades training and coaching people. She's a fantastic speaker, very good command in the language, very good command in speaking, can give big, gigantic speeches. I think she recently competed in something related to best speaker of the world or some competition, right? She was doing very good. Don't know the update finally. But she is in the category of a slow speaker. Slow speaker is not a bad speaker. Just like there are slow twitch fibers and fast twitch fiber muscles. Fast twitch fiber muscles are more explosive. Slow twitch fiber muscles are more endurance based. Does not mean slow twitch fiber muscles are not good. A very good example of slow twitch fiber would be Nate Diaz. He's a fantastic fighter. A very good example of fast twitch fiber would be Edson Barboza or Conor McGregor. Both are fantastic fighters. All three of them are great fighters, but it's just that the kind of fighter they are, or kind of body type they have. For example, whether you are an ectomorph or you are an endomorph, depends what kind you are. In a similar manner, a fast speaker is different from a slow speaker. Joe Rogan over here is a fast speaker. Now, what you need to know, if you're one of those fast speakers, and I've had a bunch of students in Art of Speaking who were like naturally fast speakers. And the problem with fast speakers is that every now and then they are going to get tongue-tied. I'm pretty sure you notice me getting tongue-tied multiple times as well, especially when it is unscripted. Slow speakers are more calculated. They think more, right? That is great as well. For example, Elon Musk would be a perfect example of a slow speaker. The good thing about fast speaker, however, is if you know the value of fluctuation of speed, it is way easier for a fast speaker to slow it down. It is much more difficult for a slow speaker to speed it up. Fast or slow, if you're going to speak at the same pace continuously, we get what we call a monotone. And a monotone is always boring. A monotone is bound to lose your attention. So fast speakers have to slow it down every now and then. Slow speakers have to fasten it up every now and then. That's the best way to gather attention. I have discussed this in much more detail in Art of Speaking and the limitation of time. I cannot discuss everything over here. But I'm going to say this one thing real quick. The reason your mind loses attention to anything that is monotone is because our senses are created to discover and to sense changes. For example, right now, you are listening to my voice. It is not the only sound that you're listening to. The other sounds that you're listening to are. Did you notice? There are other things that are going on as well. Whether there's background noise, there's fan noise, there's tube light noise, whatever noise there is. There are other noises as well, but your brain chose to ignore that because those are fixed noise. We also call it white noise. There are videos on YouTube called white noise, 1 hour long. You can listen to it while you study because your brain is naturally going to ignore it because of its monotone nature. And also it is going to cut out every other noise from the outside if you are in a crowded, noisy place. Good way to study. I talk about it all the time guiding students. So that is why you need the fluctuation of speed, energy, all these things. Now listen to Joe Rogan when he speaks and try to understand why I said all that when I heard Joe Rogan speak at this point.
Steve, knowing what I know about the Gracies, knowing what I know about the history of the family, knowing what a legendary family they are, to see you, my best friend, stand...
Did you see what he did there, right there? He was speaking so fast, but why would he slow down? Now, I'm not saying while he's talking to his friend over here, he's thinking, oh, I should slow it down. No, it has boiled down to his reflex by this point, and it just comes out when there's need. So a lot of speaking is feeling. You speak according to your feel when you're very comfortable in speaking, when you're really good at it, when you have done the reps, when you have spoken for hours and hours. So pay attention for one last time. This is what we call push and pull.
History of the family, knowing what a legendary family they are. To see you, my best friend, standing there with Hoyle Gracie.
He could have gone with the same pace as well. To see you, my best friend, standing over there with Hoyle Gracie. He could have said like that as well. But why did he, to see you standing over there, why did he slow down? It's just a better way of communication. And when you're talking in your native tongues, you are doing this all the time. But when, if English is your second language, you do not do that because you are not as comfortable. Now, let's just pick up any video, a recent one, hopefully. Okay, this is not a recent one, but let's see. And this time I'm going to focus on his ability to be a host, how good of an interviewer he is. And the best quality of an interviewer is, which Joe Rogan depicts all the time, is something that I want you to think of while you listen to this one.
We consider non-optimal that we want to change. And so undoing the back.
Now, he started speaking. You might not have noted, and I did cut a huge portion of the video because of copyright issues. He started speaking at 0:42 seconds, and it is 1:14 in the time right now. That's over 20 seconds of the guest speaking. That's not a long time, but I just paused it. I know that the guest is going to continue speaking, and Joe Rogan is going to continue on being quiet and listening carefully while the guest speaks, because that's the best quality of a good host. I just want you to take a look at Joe Rogan's face right now. He's listening quietly, carefully. A host's role is not to get attention. What a good host should be doing all the time, and it took me a hell lot of podcasts to understand, what a host should be doing all the time is trying to highlight the guest. That's all the host should be doing. Guest is there. The podcast or the interview is about the guest right now. If I had to talk, I would not have a guest. This is my podcast anyway. I would be doing what I'm doing right now, solo podcast, just talking to my audience. But if you're having a guest, the focus, attention, everything on the guest. Your job is to lead the conversation, ask the questions in the right time, and make your guest comfortable. Another thing that you would have noticed, that Joe Rogan started, at least at this segment, started with praising the guest, complimenting the guest. That is important. A lot of time, guests are not comfortable talking in front of thousands of people. A lot of time, it is their first time. You do it every week, sometimes twice or thrice a week. The guest is here once in a lifetime, maybe once in a year, in someone else's podcast, opening his or her ideas and life in front of the world. So complimenting definitely boosts their confidence. So those are the responsibilities of a host.
It's very bizarre. Now, when you say you have...
So he does not say anything until unless the guest goes quiet or he has to lead the conversation, right? So that's the thing. The guest is not over here to maintain a fluent conversation. If it was up to guest, the podcast will go quiet in less than 10 minutes. Trust me. It is only the host that keeps it continuous. A lot of times, even I get some comments like, why are you saying so much? It's mainly because sometimes the guest is a shy person. He or she does not like to speak a lot or is not able to speak continuously. So you'll have to nudge him. This whole segment was a good example of that. Joe Rogan has to ask a lot of questions to continue the flow. Because a lot of times, you know, the guests know a lot. They might be like professors straight out of Stanford. They know a lot. But they do not know what people would like to listen to or what people would like to know. That's what the host knows very well. The host knows the audience. And so the host can drive the conversation in a way the audience wants to listen to. Now, I do not think that I should go further. We got a lot out of Joe Rogan. This is not the last time we are breaking down Joe Rogan. While going through this, I was thinking the best example of a host which lets the guest talk is Lex Fridman. And maybe in the upcoming subsequent podcast, solo ones in Fantastic Speaker segment, I'm going to break his whole way of being a podcast host down. I personally love listening to his podcast because it's so quiet, mellow, and you get an experience. A straight up contrast to that would be Andrew Schultz's podcast. Schultz. The Flagrant 2. And it is Andrew Schultz and another co-host, Akash. Both are comedians, and the podcast is very loud and aggressive and loud laughters. Some might like that, but I'm not a big fan of that. Not saying that podcast is bad or something. It's just that I don't like that. But that's the thing. Like, some people would like Lex Fridman's whole way of doing a podcast, that I get to learn something out of it. And some would, in the contrast, like Flagrant 2. Okay. I want to get into the, oh my God, in the last podcast also, I said something like, I want to review the book Never Finished. Let's do it. I don't think that is going to take more than 5 minutes. I do not read a lot of self-help books. Matter of fact, I don't read much books either, which is kind of disadvantageous if you're a writer. But it's just the way it is. I write the book in a way that a movie would be made out of it, a very visual, but I'm not a big time like bookworm and going through one book every week, or some people go crazy like 2 to 3 books a week. And definitely I have read some books for story, some book for history, some book for technicality. Like, I'm a big time those History of Israel books. I've read almost all of them. But the one kind of book that I would never read is a self-help book. The book Never Finished by David Goggins has the initial prologue where there's, I think, a page of it. I do not know because I listened to the book on Audible, which is a pro tip. I paid $0 for it. You can go to Audible and one book is free and you can get Never Finished and listen to it 100% for free. I listened to it. It was done in 10 hours. And I did not sit down 10 hours to listen to it. You can just do it while running, walking, making your food, or going to gym. Hopefully you do at least one of those. So I listened to it for free, but I listened to it full. And like I was saying, in the prologue itself, it is very heavily emphasized that this is not a self-help book. Now, I do not know if it is not a self-help book, then what kind of book it is, because it is not a story with a beginning and an end. It is containing a lot of experiences, in the words of David Goggins, mostly David Goggins writing as a narrator. There are not a lot of dialogue exchanges. In a storybook, there will be lines and lines of dialogues, right? So it's definitely not a fictitious novel or an autobiography. I think that's what it would be in the category of then. An autobiography, right? Because all he's doing is what happened to him, line by line, scene by scene. So if it is not a self-help book, then it is an autobiography. Let's see. Actually, you can know the genre of the book just by typing genre Never Finished. What's that? Yeah. Oh, shit. I was right on point. It said autobiography. Yeah. I guess that's what you would say. You know, I've been having a tough time to find out the genre of my own book. So I did this multiple times. And then I found out what my book is a novel, fiction, humor. That's a good genre of a book. Coming back to this one. By the way, those people who are wondering and asking me again and again on Instagram, I'm planning to publish it by the end of Q2 2023, which is very soon, working hard on it. Now, coming back to the one man who deserves all the focus in this segment of the podcast, that is David Goggins. Let's discuss his book a little bit. The one thing, we'll start with the heavy ones, the ones I did not like, so that we get that out of the way and you understand what you can expect out of this. What I personally could not find are methods and ways to lead my life better, Like, what should I do every day that will help me to live a more successful life? And that's what you would expect out of a self-help book and not out of an autobiography. So now I understand for better reasons why I did not find those and found those, and I should not have expected that. But most people look at books like Never Finished or even his first book, Can't Hurt Me, thinking that it's a self-help book. It is going to be a motivational book, right? But mostly what it is motivational, especially that part when his mom comes in and talks about her experiences. You understand how lucky and fortunate you are. And especially when David Goggins talks about his own past and him going and meeting his father, those things are really, really motivational. But he does not really emphasize much on what you should be doing or 10 things you should be doing. But I think he leads by example. And mostly what he has talked about is the injuries that he has been through, how hard he has pushed through in a lot of his races, which kinds of makes you understand one thing, which is like embedded in David Goggins' philosophy, that is most people quit in 40%. And makes you understand that we don't even know the limits of our body. And that brings me to the point, a smooth transition. This book is fantastic for athletes, because if you are an athlete, you are going to be relating with it a lot more, because that's what you are directly doing, pushing your body. So that's one thing. Actually, you are pushing yourself even if you are trying to become a scientist. But the thing is that athletes would be able to relate with it in a better manner. See, don't get me wrong. At the end of the day, the bottom line is that you should get this book. You should go through it, at least get a free one on Audible and listen to it. But one thing, a good part about this book are the podcast segments. So if you did not know, in the audio version, there will be a lot of podcast segments. After every chapter, the narrator in the Audible book is going to interview David Goggins, and that gives a good touch. Matter of fact, I enjoy listening to the podcast much more than compared to the narrator. The one limitation of this book's narration is, again, like, no matter how good the other guy is, no matter how good he is, he's definitely good, but you would still, at the end of the day, want David Goggins to be speaking and narrating. If you're reading a book written by Joe Rogan, if you go to Audible, you want Joe Rogan's voice. That's what I would be expecting. So that's one limitation, but ultimately this book is great if you want some real motivation, not one of those who's just shouting on you. But the motivation over here does not come from the words, but from the experiences of what he has been through, what his mother has been through, and how they push through it. So it's a good book. It's a good book. That's what I would end this with. And I think it did not take more than 5 minutes. So that's about it. I'm going to end this podcast over here. Hope you're finding this podcast amazing. Every week you get something new to learn out of it. If you did, hashtag LSNT, learn something new today. And your comments, your opinions, your suggestions, your questions goes down in the comment section. Love your support. The podcast is available in all the audio platforms. You are professional, son. There's an Instagram page, especially on art. Go over there and follow it, because you're going to get more doses from inside the podcast. We're trying to do more and more, create more and more reels, more and more quotes, what you can learn from this particular guest, what we learned over here. It is a great community that I'm trying to build. Apart from that, go to ashishtalk.com. You can find various services and programs over there. Telephonic consultancy with me, personal one-on-one, you can book a slot for that. There are courses on improving your communication skills, speaking skills, confidence, personality called Art of Speaking. Think about it. If you want to improve your personality, that's the best place you can be, the cheapest it has ever been. There's another program on how to start a YouTube channel, how to start a podcast. If you're into that, want to start something on your own, you can do it. Trust me, it's way easier than you think. Every step has been laid down over there in a way that anybody can do it. Proper systematic approach. And that's about it. I'll see all of you next week. And again, back over here to pump your coming week with a new momentum. See you next time. Till then, bye.